Psalm 91. The thrust of this psalm is evident on the surface. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. The psalmist, thinking about God, the Most High, the Almighty God, says this, that the Almighty is my shelter, my refuge, my security, my defense, my protection. I will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He makes this open confession. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, not religion, not the law, not the temple, not the priesthood, but God Himself is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And by a series of pictures, wide-ranging pictures, he sets out what he sees and feels of the protecting, defending, shielding mercy of God. Right from the beginning, the shelter of the Most High, the shadow of the Almighty, refuge, fortress in verse 2. Even in those first two verses, shelter, there's the storm and the wind, God is the shelter. There's the burning heat, God is the shadow, the refuge. Joshua 20, the cities of refuge, mountain refuges, defense against the weather, protection against the elements, my fortress, the castle, the keep, the bulwarks, the ramparts. Verse 3, the fowler's snare. He will save you from the fowler's snare. God will protect me, he said, from the man who's out hunting, in our day shooting, trapping, and from the deadly pestilence, plague, epidemic. He will cover you with his feathers like a chicken when a hawk comes, an eagle. And under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart back to the castle and the fortress and warfare and armor. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Morning, noon, and night, whenever the trouble strikes, you will be protected, you who trust in the Lord. 1,000 can fall around you, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. You will see and observe the punishment of the wicked, but you have made the holy God your God. You are a spiritual man. You are trusting in God, and He will defend you. If you make the Most High, verse 9, your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. If you dwell in God and take your shelter and protection in Him, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. The angels He will command to take care of you. So if you fall off a cliff, you will not dash or hurt your feet against a stone. You can tread upon the lion and the cobra, the great lion and the serpent, snakes, venomous snakes, fierce animals, carnivores. And the promise is categorical, verse 14 and 15 and 16. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. He who makes the Lord, God Almighty, his protection, will know this protection. He who is a spiritual man, serving God, will find these material benefits and comforts, long life, prosperity, happiness, security, confidence, protection, deliverance, shelter from storm, wind, elements, rain, whatever it might be, pestilence, epidemic, battle, war, animals, whatever it might be. You will only observe these terrible things coming upon the ungodly, you will live long and be satisfied with God's salvation. Now, what am I going to say about that? Well, I have a problem. I'm going to be honest with you. I always want to be honest with you. I have a problem with this. Is it a fact that the godly in this day do live long? My wife died quite young. Does that mean because I've lived longer than she did that I'm a more godly man than she was a godly woman? What shall I say this morning as I speak this psalm to any believer who is suffering in illness, in bereavement, in trouble and difficulty that's come unexpectedly out of the blue? You have been godly. You have made the Lord your shelter. You have trusted in him. But things have gone awry. Death, pestilence, darkness, trouble have come into your lives. What do I say? Well, this psalm will tell us it shouldn't have happened. Was that what I'm going to say? Now, if you don't read the Bible properly, you will either end up as a prosperity gospel man and say that you will never get illnesses, you'll prosper, you'll live long, be happy, and know every blessing and every material benefit, the best of this and the best of that. You'll teach that. And when things go wrong, I do not know what you do in that system. For it does, things do go wrong. I don't know how covenant theologians go on with this passage. In theory, they treat the two covenants, the old covenant and the new covenant, as one covenant, just different administrations. But it's more than a different administration I'm going to speak on this morning. I see, as a new covenant man, I see a contrast in the covenants. I see it written in the New Testament. Jesus tells me, you've heard it said in the past, in the old covenant, of course, but I say to you, John said it in John chapter 1, verse 17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I believe that Psalm 91, situated heavily, securely in the old covenant day, does speak of material benefit for Israel. If they put the Lord first, he would prosper them in land and harvest, protection, defense, health and happiness, victory and battle. But living in the days of the new covenant, I think things are different. I'm not playing fast and loose with scripture. I'm using the New Testament principles to interpret the Old Testament. The prosperity gospelers take this literally, but how they cope when it goes wrong, as I've said, I don't know. Covenant theologians, they really ought to take this as it stands, because after all, they believe that this covenant, Psalm 91, is the same, say, as Romans 8. Well, why do they sing then, when all around my soul gives way? It never does give way under their system. So what am I saying here? I use this psalm, and I make it my prayer and my desire. I look to God to protect me and defend me, and I praise him. He has, time and time again, many times unknown to me. He has shielded me and defended me on the roads, in health, in difficulties and trials that I know nothing about. But on occasion, he has signally intervened to protect me and defend me. And I bless his name, praise and thank him. And I go on seeking to trust him. I want to love him. I want to call upon him. And I do trust that God will be with me in my troubles and answer me. I hope I will live long, not for long life's sake, but to serve God in this generation and long after I am dead. But that's how I interpret Psalm 91. Now bear in mind that it's an old covenant passage. I rejoice in Israel's happiness in their day. And I see it worked out under Solomon and David tremendously. And I do see under their sins how they were brought down. But coming into the new covenant, I look for the spiritual equivalent of this and recognize that though God is sovereign still, and though he rules over all things, troubles and trials do come. Afflictions are brought into my life. And God uses these even to sanctify me and to glorify his name. I'll close with a hymn by Isaac Watts. Now, there are 6 verses in this hymn. The first 5, he sets out this doctrine of Psalm 91, I think, exceedingly clearly. But it's the last verse I want to fix in your mind. I think he gives us the key. I think he understands this change in the covenants here. Let me read it to you. I'm not going back on Psalm 91. I rejoice in it, and I trust in God for it. But I recognize that living in the days of the new covenant, I have to face difficulties and problems. I am not a prosperity gospel man. In fact, I could argue from the New Testament, I think, that the reverse is nearly always true. Afflictions and trials come to the godly. Faith must be tried. But let me read Watts on Psalm 91. He that hath made his refuge God shall find a most secure abode, shall walk all day beneath his shade, and there at night shall rest his head. Then will I say, my God, thy power shall be my fortress and my tower. I that am formed of feeble dust, make thine almighty arm my trust. Thrice happy man, thy maker's care shall keep thee from the fowler's snare. Satan the fowler, who betrays unguarded souls 1,000 ways. Just as a hen protects her brood from birds of prey that seek their blood under her feathers, so the Lord makes his own arm his people's guard. If burning beams of noon conspire to dart a pestilential fire, thou art my life, thy wings are spread to shield me with a healthful shade. And now the last verse. But if the fire or plague or sword receive commission from the Lord to strike his saints among the rest, their very pain and death is blessed. I think Watts is saying what I'm saying here. Yes, we do make our refuge and find our refuge in God. We do rest in him, and we praise him for all that his mercies, all the mercies he's shown us in the past, our faithful, unchangeable God. We'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come. But living in the days of the new covenant, we know that sometimes, even when we please God, difficulties and trials come. Paul had the thorn in the flesh. Yes, trials come, but grace sufficient is given to us. Unbeliever, you've heard me setting out my difficulties here. But you have your difficulties too. But when I have my difficulties, I turn to the Lord. Where do you go? Let me read Watts again and close. But if the fire or plague or sword receive commission from the Lord to strike his saints among the rest, their very pain and death is blessed.